So here we go, everybody. Thanks so much. Oh, Elohim's saying they're going to do the energies of 2026 so that I can start the camera and turn the camera off so I don't have to edit the video. So instead of doing that thing where I normally say it's January 4th, join me in communion, all that stuff, we're just going to start with Elohim saying we're here to do the energies of 2026. Okay, so don't get confused about that. Veronica, I'm not talking to you guys, I'm talking to myself. All right, here we go. Hello, everyone. We're so happy to be with you to offer you some insights on the energies of 2026. It's always funny for us to do this because we really do support you being in the present and deeply in the present at that. So the idea of talking about the future or talking about the outcome is always a little strange, but we understand your desire to have some sense of what the energies are like and where they might be going. So we will do that right now. Right now, it's the open door time. All the doors are open. The possibilities are literally infinite. And the opportunity to step through those open doors is ripe in a way that it has never been before. And here's the challenge. That means all possibilities are possible. What does that mean? It means it's not just only good stuff or only positive stuff or only supportive stuff. It means the opportunity to do things that may turn out to be challenging or to be in experiences that may turn out to feel like they're not supporting your growth. Everything's on the table. Just like when you go to eat and you could have just all sweets or you could have vegetables, right? There's everything's on the table. It's a grand buffet. Think of it that way. And in that, you have this opportunity to say, what is my habit? Is it my habit to feel negative thoughts, to feel distracted, to feel like things aren't going to work out? Is it my habit to come at a situation and feel a sense of optimism, feel a sense of hope, feel a sense of grounded, present openness to new experiences? Is it it's all just going to be the same way it was before and worse? Or is it going to be you holding space for there to be a change, to be transformation, to be growth, to walk in hope? Now, sometimes you might go back and forth between the two, and that's totally understandable. But keep in mind, when all the doors are open and the field of infinite possibilities that is at hand, it includes everything. So your discernment and your choices and your willingness to choose and choose again beyond habit, beyond fear, beyond patterns that don't serve you, to choose into relationships that support you and choose out of relationships that don't, and to begin walking that step of growth, evolution, transformation, recognizing that each of those requires something to be set down. We like to say, you can't have change without change. Or, you can't have change without something changing. And you can desire change and transformation. You can desire evolution and growth. But you have to also be willing to let go of the pieces and parts that aren't supportive of that growth. So as you walk into 2026, deep presence, always top recommendation. And a recognition that the change and transformation you want requires change and transformation within yourself first. Internal change propagates into your external life, not the other way around. Let yourself make the commitment to you to allow for change to occur. And when that grand buffet of the field of infinite possibilities with all these doors open that have happened in 2026 is presented to you, choose wisely about what you pursue and keep choosing to invest in yourself as you move through new doorways and into new experiences. Nothing has to hold you back except your willingness or lack of willingness to move forward. That's the beauty of 2026. It's in your lap, it's in your hands, and it's you deciding. Having that willingness and consistency and persistence to say, there's change afoot and I want to move with the change. I want to move with the transformation. 2026 is my year for me. All right, then. Thank you very much. Just a second. Okay, we're back. Now it's January 4th, 2026. So we'll probably divide those up. Veronica will. What are we saying? We're not going to do it. She's going to do it. Anybody want to say anything about that? Veronica's like happy it's done. Okay. Ta-da. Energies of 2026. Nancy says, wowza, carries a potent punch and invitation. Yeah, Veronica's like, I did not expect you to say what you said. And that's because how we would say that to all of you that have been following along, we said this last year, we remember saying, is very different than how we would say it to her putting it on YouTube, right? And the way we would say it to all of you is the way we've been saying it for the last four meetings. Pick something new, keep doing it, find the stuff that gets in your way, get past the stuff that gets in your way to train yourself how to be in the field of infinite possibilities. Now, if we said that, people don't know what the hell we're talking about. So we tried to say that in a way that would potentially connect with more people. And hopefully we did. Susan says, juicy, I'll listen again. Wonderful. All right. Now, getting back to what we've been working on, Veronica worked on this list. And so what we're going to do is copy each of these lines over, and we'll talk about each one. We might not have to talk about them much, but this is where we're going to start. So let's just go. We think there's 12 of these on this list so far. And if anybody has any that we need to add to the list, we can add them. This is not like the list. This is the list so far. So the first one is analysis paralysis. And analysis paralysis is, we want to say something real quick. A lot of these, if not all of them, are things you do instead of being in I don't know, instead of taking the next step on your project, instead of facing your blocks, instead of facing your anxieties, your errors, all that stuff, right? So in this case, analysis paralysis is thinking and thinking and thinking some more without taking action. So you can get to the point where I'm just going to sit and think about this. Randy, we're going to use you as an example, even if this isn't one of yours. We're just going to use you writing your kid's book as an example. So if Randy just decided to think about that for the next 6 months, that's analysis paralysis, right? You don't need to think about it for 6 months. You might need to think about it for 6 weeks or 6 days or 6 hours, but there comes a point where you've thought about it enough. And you need to actually move to the next phase of it. And the idea that you haven't thought about it enough is your block. And then you move to the next phase, and then I haven't thought about this enough becomes a distraction. It's not a block anymore. Does that make sense? Does anybody need any more clarification on that one or want us to say any more about that? Or is anybody experiencing analysis paralysis? Randy says, makes sense to me. Now, again, this is where this is very personal. For some people, you might need to think for 6 weeks. And for some people, you've already thought about it for 6 years. You just need to get your butt in gear, right? Where is your block? Is your block that I've already thought about this so much and I'm just going to keep thinking about it because it's habitual to keep thinking about it? Or is your block, I'm afraid to think about it because if I think about it, then I have to go on to the next step? That's where this becomes personal, right? You have to decide where that analysis paralysis is. Like for Veronica, she's trying to hook up the e-commerce on her essential oil card store. And she thinks about it and then feels blocked because she tried 4 times and it won't work. And she doesn't have enough AI tokens to actually work on it with the AI. And so every time she thinks about it, she just says, I don't want to think about it because there's no point in thinking about it. What I need to do is sit down and do what the AI suggested once I have more AI tokens so I can keep talking to the AI. The temptation might be to sit and just think about it as a way to not have to do anything else. Okay, this fan is bothering us, so we are going to do something about it. The temptation is to sit and think about it, because you know how to think about it. Right? You know how to think about your book. And you might not know what to do after that. So you just keep thinking. All right? We're going to assume, unless somebody says something, that that one is enough. We can always come back to it, but that one's a pretty straightforward one. This next one we talked about before, we talked about a lot of these before, of course, is decision fatigue. And Dennis, you had some insight about decision fatigue. Can you share that here, please? For Veronica, this is the Veronica's way of having decision fatigue, but Dennis had another one, so we'll put his in here too. But decision fatigue is every decision involves navigating personality, and the accumulation of those decisions can wear you out and make you want to stop. The key here is we should change this word, make you want to quit. Can somebody make a note about that we want Veronica to change that word to quit? Wait, she says she can do it real quick. Hang on just a second. Because we really want to get this. Okay, we got that in place. So for Veronica, it was, you know, what color do I want this? What price do I want to charge? How much do I want to charge for shipping? What do I want my About Me page to say? What do I want, you know, it to say about how I became a person who knows how to read essential oils? And it was just so many decisions in a row because she was working on the project for hours and hours and hours in a row. She just needed to take a break from it, not quit. Decision fatigue can tell you, okay, now you suck because you feel this way. Instead of recognizing, I'm just tired. Like, it's okay to be tired. If I ran a marathon, I would take a break. It's okay to be tired. You can't let decision fatigue tell you to quit. You just recognize, I need to take care of myself by taking a break. I've been working too many hours on this in one stretch. Because we remember telling you, like, the next day when she woke up, she had no more decision fatigue. She just needed a break. So don't let decision fatigue tell you to quit. But recognize decision fatigue can be a symptom of taking a stopping point. Dennis said, have noticed that decision fatigue is the child of imposter syndrome and analysis paralysis. Imposter syndrome and self-doubt plus lots of thinking causes thrashing around in indecision and worry before coming to a decision, contributing to a lot of fatigue for every decision. Since decision fatigue is an effect, catching the thrashing between self-doubt and analysis paralysis seems the best way to arrest the cause. So that's another way of thinking about decision fatigue, right? The idea that if you're fatigued because self-doubt is part of it, it's going to be even harder. If Veronica was saying, what color do I want this to be? And she decides on purple, and then she doubts the purple, that's going to just make this worse, which is what Dennis is pointing out, which is a really good point. Okay, anybody got anything? We're just going to assume that if you have anything you want to say, you'll start typing. Okay, and we're going to keep going. Please type as much as you want. You know we love it when you type. Just keep typing. But in the meantime, we're just going to keep going. All right? Let's go back over here. Okay, this brings us to imposter syndrome. Oops. Now, imposter syndrome is all about the idea that I'm not good enough or qualified enough to do this. This one can be really hard to get past. Because we specifically encouraged you to do something new. So you're not good enough or qualified enough to do it. Like Veronica with her crochet. How many times does she have to take it out and start again? That is just part of it. Not means you're not allowed to do it. And imposter syndrome can be really magnified if you hang out or if you're going to a job or something where there's a lot of people who you really admire and you think are very skilled and qualified. You can be like, compared to you, I don't belong here. So if let's say you decided to, let's say Veronica's starting this pottery class later in the month, right? She's going to take this pottery class. That's the plan, at least. And let's say she's taking the pottery class and she's just not great at it. And she could say, you know, I shouldn't be in this class. Everybody here's already taken a class. I'm the only new person. I feel really awkward. I'm an imposter. I shouldn't be here. I should quit. Okay. Again, remember, all of these are low-hanging fruit. So these are all the ones that a lot of people have. Maybe everybody has. Maybe they show up in every project at different intensities. And so these are the ones you just can be like, oh, that's just imposter syndrome. Oh, that's just analysis paralysis. And it helps to turn that block into a distraction. That's our goal here. Okay, let's get the next one. Oh, yes, this one. We had a big talk about this, didn't we? Nancy shares, definitely experienced this in a group I joined and keep going. Wonderful, Nancy. Good job. Unrealistic evaluations. So this is the need to be perfect, especially on the first try. Remember that whole thing, in order to keep going. So this is where you have to recognize that it's something new. It kind of goes with imposter syndrome. It's something new. You don't have to be the best or perfect at it. You don't have to be a prodigy at everything you try. Enjoy not getting it right. Let yourself feel those feelings. Recognize there's no jeopardy. Remember we talked about the guy who just threw himself out on the dance floor and just decided to see what it felt like to just really be embarrassed? Find out what it feels like to really not be that great at something and then give yourself the opportunity to grow. If you don't try because you're not perfect on the first try, you're not going to do much. Did you hear us? Okay. The next one. Now, this was a popular one last time we had a meeting. The unnecessary side quests. Now, the distinction here is very important. And we're going to bring up another one and we're going to talk about them together because they go together so much that we want to make sure that we talk about these as a group. So that's unnecessary side quests, which is feeling blocked and then going in a different direction instead of navigating the block. And then there's excessive information or resource gathering, continuing research beyond the point where you are ready to take action. So an unnecessary side quest is not getting some information that you need. These are not the same thing. An unnecessary side quest is where you come up against a block on your main quest, and instead of navigating that block, you go off frolicking through the fields instead. And then excessive information or resource gathering, this is similar to the think we talked about at the very beginning, the analysis paralysis, is where, you know, you can beat yourself up because, oh, instead of working on my project, I went and, you know, went to a museum and did research and did this and did this and did this. Well, some of that's needed. We think Veronica was talking to somebody who was like, is it like an unnecessary side quest if I go to the yarn store? It's like, well, do you need yarn? Yeah. Okay. Then no, that's not an unnecessary side quest. That's resource gathering. If you went to 25 yarn stores over the course of 6 months and never started anything, that's excessive resource gathering. Right? Because you're avoiding starting by going shopping. Now, where this came up for Veronica was when she was researching all these side hustles. She realized, okay, I've really enjoyed this research process, but I have like 25 side hustles now. I got to pick one. I can't just keep researching. It's ridiculous at this point. Just pick one. One of those is going to be a reasonable one to do. Just figure out which one it's going to be. She recognized that she was avoiding the next step, which felt challenging, which is like, oh God, I got to learn about this even more, by just learning the first 4 minutes of 20 more. Continuing to research beyond the point where you're ready to take action. She was ready to take action. She didn't need to keep finding more. So an unnecessary side quest, trying to think of what that would be for Veronica. She's pretty good at not doing unnecessary side quests, actually. So we don't have a good example, but it sounds like maybe Tiffany does here. Just a second. Let's pull this up so we can see it all at once. Tiffany said, those two feel like the definition of my ADHD showing up. I used to feel more comfortable in overgathering to feel better about maybe not having enough. Now I've gotten more grown up and real with myself. This is where level two would bounce me all around. I had to pick up my big girl pants. Yes. Yes, 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 and yes. And how does that feel, Tiffany, to make that shift? Because, you know, you're facing something there, right? That's a block. You faced it. And now you get to live in the I faced that block. Maybe the block's not completely gone, but you live in a I faced that block instead of I'm avoiding that block. And that's something we'd love to hear from more of you about, is like what it feels like to have faced a block. Like Randy, you had that block of doing things out of order, which isn't a block, by the way, or isn't real, but it's a block. And you worked on it. What's it like to live in the I face the block place? Tiffany continues, yes, example is not feeling good about cleaning, so I would overthink about how I'm broken instead of just doing something related to cleaning. Perfect example, right? It feels fresher and cleaner and not heavy. So I'm going to just sit here and feel like I'm in level two. That's a good reminder, victimhood, about the fact that my house is a mess. When I could, we have this coming up on the list. I could repurpose that energy, the energy I'm spending saying that spider web is really bothering me. I feel like I suck because of that spider web and blah, 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 blah. Get up off the couch and use that energy to wipe up that spider web, right? And Tiffany says it gives her more time and space. And Randy says it feels like a duh moment. Exactly. Repurposing the energy that you're using to fight the block to transform the block is a really powerful part of all of this. Repurposing that energy. It's on the list. Veronica put it on the list because she has talked to people about this. We'll get there. So then we have this next one's coming up. Nancy says, excellent statement that captures this. Is it the what Tiffany said, Nancy? We're not following you 100% on that. So can you give us a few more words, please? Going on to the next one is, what will people think? Imagining the judgment others might make as a justification to not move forward. Oh, she's missing a word there. We'll fix that. You don't have to engage with other people's comments. That's optional. What will people think? The place that this showed up a lot, back a while ago, before COVID, Veronica had that class called Everyday Expertise, where basically she was trying to teach people this sort of stuff. And one of the things that she had to deal with a lot was people saying, well, if I do that, what will my family think? It was huge. That was a very common one. That's not a thing for Veronica. She never thinks that. She thinks, what will strangers think? But she never thinks, what will my family think? And a lot of people had that really, really loud. And sometimes it was like, you know, what will my husband say if I try this? That was a loud one because she was mostly dealing, we think almost exclusively dealing with women. What will my husband say if I try to start my own online class? Okay. Your husband doesn't even have to be a jerk for you to think that, right? Your husband can be great and you still wonder, But if you have somebody who's, you know, a little hard on you, that can come up. And if it's not your husband, it can be your it's the ers, right? Your parents, your teachers, your preachers, your employers, right? All the things that end in ers, all the ers, those authority figures, and what they say about how you spend your time and your money and your attention. You could be playing tapes about what the ers might say that keep you from ever starting something new. And they may not even feel that way. That's the part that would kill Veronica. She's like, you don't even know what they'll say. You can probably guess in some cases, but in many cases, you don't actually know. You don't even give them a chance to support you or be neutral. You just assume they're negative and use that as a reason not to do anything. That's what this one is, the ers. Nancy said, you said repurposing this energy to fight the block. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Tiffany said, I also found the deeper personality hiding in there, making me feel like I have to do things that society's pressure should be a priority instead of me just using infinite possibilities to navigate what I know is my truth. This is my core emotion stuff. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Okay, let's move on to the next one. This one, we did not talk about this, but it's a really important one. And that is not making time for prioritizing the project. Veronica's like, I had more written about this than is showing up here. Oh, because she wrote a document. Anyway, she has a better version of this list and we picked up the old one. But anyway, not making time for or prioritizing the project is what goes on with that one is people will say they don't have time. I don't have time to try something new. And it's like, all right, look at what you're spending your time on. And it may be something like taking a bit of time from your lunch hour. Veronica knows an author. It's Hugh Howey who wrote the book Wool. He wrote it on his lunch break from his job as a bookstore. And it's been super famous. It's even a TV show on Apple now. And he wrote that completely during his breaks from his lunch hour at the bookstore. Some people just wake up a half an hour early and use that half an hour to do their project or go to bed a half an hour later than they normally do. Or, you know, look at what you're watching on TV or listening to as a podcast or listening to as an audiobook and say, is taking in that information more valuable to me than being creative in this world and starting this new project? Is watching this TV show for an hour more important than starting this project? And that's a personal decision, right? Where you have to say, how does this land for me? And here's the problem, is you might say, well, I really like this TV show. And internally, you're also feeling the feeling of, and I feel blocked. And so I'm just going to justify not spending time on this project today because I really like this TV show. Instead of turning and saying, have I given my project any time today or this week? And what did I give my time to instead? And not beating yourself up about it. You're making a change. And as you make that change, something has to change. Just like what we talked about in the energies video we did just at the beginning of this call, right? Something has to drop away or transform. Hugh Howey, he changed how his lunch break goes so that he could write a book. Something changes. And the question is, when you run up against, I don't have time to do something new, and you look at your schedule, are you going to beat yourself up for how you're spending your time? Or, like we said a minute ago that Nancy pointed out, are you going to repurpose that energy? Are you going to repurpose that energy? Randy says, feels like making the time is the start of the cascading excuses for me. Now I recognize the pattern. That's really great. And you know, Randy, you might do something like you make an appointment with yourself. You'd make an appointment to go to the dentist or go to the doctor, or if the kids needed to go someplace, you'd make an appointment for them and you'd show up right on time, probably early, and you would be fully present and committed to that. So what if you just made yourself an appointment with yourself and put it on the calendar and set an alarm? Randy says, good idea. You would do it for the kids. You would do it for Devin in a heartbeat. Right? This is where that whole reapproach, you know, it's always stood out to Veronica that people will take time off work to go to a funeral, but not to go to a birthday party. There's certain things that you as a society allow yourself to prioritize over things that you normally think are a priority, like going to work. Funerals are one of them. A certain amount of being sick is another one, right? You can be under the weather and still think you have to go to work, but a certain amount of being sick, you know, I have to stay home and prioritize my health. And everybody knows where that line is inside themselves. It's all make-believe. Everybody's decided it, and especially the ones that we're talking to that are retired, right? You have even more flexibility in your schedule, usually, that you fill up with various things. But how about filling it up with prioritizing yourself? And your growth and your project and your access. Because remember, we just want to make double billion percent sure everybody realizes we're not talking about at the end of the day, you have a freaking penguin that you crocheted. That's great. We love the fact that you're going to have a penguin and maybe you'll share it with us and we'll get to experience it with you. That's wonderful. And it's not the point. This whole thing is to clear the pathway of living in the field of infinite possibilities nonstop. That's it. Full stop. That's what we're doing. So at the end of the day, make sure that you don't confabulate this whole thing, that the point of this is to get a penguin. The point of this is to clear the path so that you can live in the field of infinite possibilities nonstop. So when we say it that way, Randy, making an appointment for yourself to work on your book, knowing that the process is facilitating you living in the field of infinite possibilities, makes it more likely we think that you would actually do so. You specifically, and probably everybody else too. Like, wow, I'm going to take 20 minutes a day to work on this book. And during those 20 minutes, I'm clearing the path to living in the field of infinite possibilities constantly. Plus, I'm getting a book out of it, maybe. Makes sense? Randy says yes. Pretty soon, we're going to want everybody to type, by the way. So just be ready because, excuse us, that's going to happen. Veronica is really concerned that we have lost. Just a second. We got to get the laptop because she did this on the laptop and we've lost. We're not bringing over the right information. Somehow in this process, we got mixed up. So let us just, we're going to work the laptop as it turns out. She's like, you can do it. I believe in you. Well, here we go. We've never done this before. It's pretty weird to open it up, isn't it? Okay. So where did she have this? We feel like we were... She's like, I worked so hard on this list this morning. You have the wrong list. Okay, let's see if that's true. All right. Sorry, everybody. We're just not 100%. Oh, we missed one too. All right. This is hard for us, but we think we've got it now. So this one, everybody's already heard us talk about. Don't like the sound of your own voice. Just freaking get over yourself. If it involves talking out loud and you don't like how your voice sounds, get over it. Nobody does. So who cares? Like that's one you just have to go whatever and pass it on. The other one. Allowing yourself. Okay. Yeah, we had the wrong thing here, but it's all the same. But she just added, she detailed it out more. Plus there aren't these random periods all over the place that are driving her crazy. All right. We're got it now. Will it be worth it? Outcome focus. Allowing yourself to get caught up in the end result rather than being present to the process. Oh, I don't know if it'll be worth it. Maybe I shouldn't even start. Maybe I shouldn't even try. I'm going to spend money on it and probably won't get my money back. It won't really be worth it. I don't know. That thing. And that whole thing of like, well, but if it doesn't turn out that I make a lot of money, I just am not sure if I'm going to bother doing it. So Veronica was watching this video about this guy who was a homestead. And so he has chickens and pigs and farm stuff and gardens and all that stuff. And somebody was, you know, giving him grief in the comment section because that's what people like to do. And in the comment section, the person was giving them grief and saying, you are paying more for eggs than I pay because you had to build a chicken coop. You don't just get, you know, the eggs. You have to actually build the coop for the chickens. And he's like, yeah, I know. That's not what I'm paying attention to, though. That's not what matters to me. What matters to me is I'm teaching my kid life skills. I know that if something were to go wrong, I have some food. I have some resources. You know, we're self-sufficient. I know exactly where my food comes from. All those things matter to me. I'm just not counting how much I spent. Right? So for him, if the outcome is pay less for eggs than I would pay at the grocery store, well, it's going to take a while to pay off the chicken coop he built and the fences and all of the grain and everything else chickens need. But that's not his whole focus. See? So that's the other thing is like, you know, for this, like we just said, the purpose of it is not just to make a penguin. The purpose of it is to have this opportunity to clear blocks and distractions so you can live in the field of infinite possibilities without it being a thing that you have to be like, I don't know how that works. Well, this is how we're getting there. Susan says, I relate to that cascading excuses concept. It's been many moons since I've even made an appointment with myself for a project, as in the past, I haven't honored them. I don't want to let personality train me out of that. I didn't set an alarm before. I'll try that now. Next step could be a co-working appointment. Now that would be interesting, right? Veronica was telling you guys earlier that she's going to go on Wednesday to this thing where people just hang out together and do crafts. And it's not a class. They're not all doing the same craft. You do whatever craft you want. You just parallel play in the same space. And maybe you can get help from each other if you need it, or just have visits with each other or whatever you want to do. There's some energy here that maybe you get on, we could do it here on free conference call even, or Zoom or something, where you set a time where you say, okay, at 9 o'clock, from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock on Tuesday, anybody who wants to shows up here and you all just work on your projects at the same time. You have an appointment that you collaborate that way with each other. Something like that is totally on the table if anybody wants to do something like that. And you can run things by each other and you can just hang out and be together. Okay. All right. Here's the next one. We didn't talk about this recently, but we have talked about it in the past. Susan says she loved the idea. Veronica will do it, so just let her know if you're interested. This one is one we have talked about before, the moving goalposts, setting a goal and then changing it midstream, usually making the goal harder to reach. We've talked about this one at length. We're going to give you the short example. Let's say you have a goal to lose 5 pounds. And let's say that you expect it to take a month, or we don't even know how long it takes people to lose weight. So don't let this create any sort of ambition or, you know, expectation in you. Let's say you plan to lose 5 pounds in a month. We don't even know if that's healthy, but we're just using it as an example. And then you lose 5 pounds after 2 weeks. And you say to yourself, oh, wow, okay, well, then I guess I'm going to try to lose 10 pounds this month. You don't celebrate the fact that you met your goal early. You don't celebrate the fact that you met your goal at all. You don't analyze the situation. You just immediately add on another, I got to lose 5 more pounds this month to your situation. And that is cruel. That's a classic be mean to myself. And don't let other people move your goalposts either. So it's not, Randy, we're just using you as an example. It's not, oh, well, you know, you said you were writing a book and I don't see a book published yet. It's like, one, it's none of your freaking business. And two, I'm not on anybody's schedule. So go away from me right now. So don't move your goalposts for yourself and don't move goalposts for others. And don't move let others move goalposts for you. And you don't even have to have a goalpost. If it helps, you can have one, but you don't have to have one. Veronica doesn't have a goalpost for when she absolutely has to have her new website up. She's working on it. It'll be done when it's done. As long as she's not avoiding blocks, then that's the process. Make sense? Don't move goal. We hate the goalpost. Moving goalpost thing pisses us off. This is like level three, makes us feel that level three energy. It's like, it just is that gross taste in the mouth. It's like just asshole. That's just asshole. And people will do it to you. It's kind of like moving goalposts and gaslighting. They're just both gross. We don't know how else to say it. And here, Randy, this one was for you. This, you gave us this one. Judging the order you've chosen to approach a project in with the assumption that there's a specific order it must be done in order to be right. And we don't agree with that. There's some things that logically follow. You know, if you're going to lay down bricks, you probably want to level the land before you lay down the bricks. But in general, there's lots of ways to do it. You could go buy the bricks because you found them and you like them. And then you could level the ground. And then you could research what windows you want. And then come back and put the bricks down, right? It doesn't have to be, okay, I leveled the land, then I went and bought the bricks, then I put the bricks down. It doesn't have to be that. But you probably have to level the land before you eventually put bricks on it. If you want the land to be level, that is. But no beating yourself up. Randy, is that still bugging you? That, oh, I did research before I freaking wrote the book. We're going to read. We can't copy this over. Oh, wait. We're having to do the computer too much today, and we're not particularly enjoying it because, here's our block, right? Doing the computer, trying to get it right. This is not the right computer stuff, but we know what to do. Veronica's helping us. Check this out, you guys. How cool is this going to be? So we pasted it there on the laptop. And then we're going to send an email and then look at it here on this part of the world over here. And there it is. Ding dong. That's the sound it makes. Okay. Randy says no. So it's not bugging you anymore. We got distracted doing all that other stuff. Okay, so this was sort of the, Randy says, I wrote one short story and realized I don't have a clear vision of what I want these creatures to be like. So I felt back to square one. Well, you can think of it that way, or you can say that's not, I figured out one path I don't want to go down. I don't want to go down that path, as it turns out. Cool. One thing off the list. She says, thank you. Yes, you're welcome. So here we go. This is the sort of overarching statement about all this stuff. The list of potential blocks that keep you out of I don't know and thus out of the field of infinite possibilities. Applying consciousness to these blocks and surrendering the personality around them transmutes them to distractions. Distractions engaged with can return to being blocks. Distractions that are not engaged with leave you in the field of infinite possibilities with the potential to experience the jumps that the infinite part of field of infinite possibilities refers to. This list includes some of the low-hanging fruit of the most likely blocks you will encounter. They are likely more subtle and personalized blocks you will encounter. You may flicker between these things as they are very common, but try not to flop into them. Personality can't be part of the present. So when personality presents you with any of these blocks, it must be engaging with the former version of you or trying to get you into outcome focus. The flicking and the flopping. Do you remember that one? That was from a couple meetings ago, where the idea here was that, you know, you might have a moment where you feel imposter syndrome, but you're like, oh, no, I don't have to be in that. Or you just flop into it. Oh, woe is me, right? So it's you can flicker because it shows up. It's like when we hear the siren going down the street. We flicker. Oh, wait, nope, don't have to pay attention to that. Right? Does that make sense? Is that making sense? Nancy says, I have to chew on this a bit. We would love to hear what you discover when you chewed on it. When you consider doing new things, you're going to experience blocks. At least at this point, you're going to experience a block. And when you experience a block, you can either transmute that block into a distraction, or you can allow it to kind of bounce you off into something else, into one of these things that we've listed off today. And there's more. This is just the low-hanging. These are just the obvious ones that you can think of that have come up in our meetings so far, that Veronica's experienced, that Veronica's talked to people about over the years as she's talked to people about starting new things. And as you engage with blocks and you don't allow them to, in essence, tell you how to be, you just run up against them and say, oh yeah, that makes sense, because a block is a normal thing to encounter when trying something new. It's a totally normal thing to encounter, because personality's there. And personality's like, oh, well, I'm going to distract you into thinking about this and this and this and this and doing this and this and this. Because trying something new, here we go, means you have to be in the present. And where is personality if you're in the present? Gone. So what does personality try to do? Keep you out of the present. How does personality do that? Well, one of the ways it does it is by getting you to do one of these 12 things we just listed off. If it can get you in analysis paralysis, then you're going to be hanging out with it instead of being present and actually moving forward on your project and or living in the field of infinite possibilities. The blocks are from personality. The blocks are from habit. Habit's personality. The blocks are from your past. Where's personality live? The past. Who else wants to say something? Now's your turn to type. Tell us how that's sitting with you, how that's settling with you, what that's bringing up for you, what your project is looking like, what project you're doing. If we don't already know, or if it's changed since the last time we talked about it, tell us some stuff. And as we were, you know, before the call even started, Veronica pointed out that she had an aha as she was sitting there. So she made this funny little note that you can't read. She probably can't even read it. She just was sitting here and she had an aha about one of the projects she's on. Why? Because she's present. And that's where the field of infinite possibilities is. She's not distracted by anything. She's just sitting here being present, getting ready for the meeting. And this pops in. And she's like, oh, that solves a problem that was kind of vaguely floating around in my mind. Ta-da. She didn't have to figure it out. All right. Typing, everyone. It's one of those times. Nancy said, the project I mentioned was making a new quilt. I now have the fabric in mind. Ooh. Making a new quilt. That sounds yummy. Are you doing it by hand or on machine? Machine, design myself. Beautiful. Wonderful. We hope that at some point you'll share a picture. Even a work in progress picture, we're into that. So you don't have to be like, ta-da, it's done. We want to see it when, like, oh yeah, I've ripped this out 5 times. We like those pictures too. Because they're real. It's reality. was invited to a quilting retreat, which I was signing up to go, but pivoted. A quilting retreat. Wow. That was Veronica's wow. She's getting more interested in doing stuff like that. The woman contacted me because not enough people signed up. Ah. Kate says writing, two threads. Personality would say pick one or the other. I'm allowing whichever steps forward in the moment. There you go. That's beautiful. Because you get present and the one that's currently lively is the one you work on. Nancy says no charge, just next step. Nice. Kate says do need to make more time though. And we want to use your example. Not that you said anything wrong, but I need to make more time for that is kind of something people do to kind of kick their own asses, right? It's the same thing of like, I'm procrastinating. It's in that same vibe. So let's think of a way to not say it quite that way. We like the repurpose. I'm going to repurpose some time toward this project. Because we don't think people say that very often, so it has it doesn't have that weird energy attached to it. Yeah, I repurposed my Instagram time to my project today. Or I repurposed watching TV for an hour tonight to my project. How does that set? Kate says, yes, repurposing time fits. What does anybody else think? We just got the chills saying it, so that's usually a good sign. Because the energy of I need to make more time just felt old. And the idea of repurposing time feels so conscious and so present. I am repurposing this time for something else. Feels a little more like badass. Randy says repurpose feels strong. Nancy says love repurposing. Okay. And even Tiffy says, yes, to me, that feels like a levels pivot. Okay. So that's what we're going to say from now on. Cause it gets enough. Like we like it. You seems like it. The people who are commenting like it. So that'll be our language that we'll use. I'm going to repurpose time. So another thing you can report in on is I repurposed blank for this. And for Veronica, one of the things that she realized very, very strongly recently was she was watching TV and she was like, this is not entertaining. I'm supposed to be entertained or relaxed or engaged or something. But this show is doing none of those things. Literally none of those things. So why am I investing in this show when I could be repurposing my time? And what do I want to repurpose my time toward? So double checking with yourself. Is this how I want to purpose my time? Or do I need to repurpose it? I don't know if that's the right way to use English, but we feel like it's fun. Am I doing this on purpose? Or am I just doing this habitually? All these are very important questions. Because you know when you're habitual, personality is going to be right there with you. I'm watching this show because I've always watched this show. Feels like the past driving the present. Susan says, I love repurposing language, especially repurpose energy or attention instead of or in addition to time. Yes. Yes. We think we missed some time. Some people. So glad you said that, Kate, because that's very, very important. Nancy says, I've also been using an old tool we had, using my less dominant side to work on small items, strengthening, balancing in my functionality and paying attention and awareness. Fascinating. Helps me choose differently. That's really interesting, Nancy. Really interesting. Because that gives you that opportunity to experience. You have to be really present when you purposely are doing something extra hard like that or extra challenging or non-habitual, we should say. That's really interesting. Okay, repurposing seems to be, Susan says, oh yeah, I especially love the concept of repurposing the energy of self-judgment into presence. That's really good. It's really good. Because it's so easy for personality to sink in, right? So easy for personality to sink in. And if you're being habitual, chances are personality's right there holding your hand. So making sure you're intentional. Well, when you're intentional, you have to get into the moment because you have to be like, what am I doing right this second? So as you're intentional, then you're in the moment. And as you're in the moment, then you're, well, you're in the field of infinite possibilities. And the interesting thing about all of this is as we feel like the field of infinite possibilities is more and more and more accessible, then the one of the benefits to this is that then the exploration of the field of infinite possibilities kicks in. We're just at the access point. The exploration of the field of infinite possibilities, really, for our group, not for the general public, which we did that recording earlier, but for our group, the exploration of the field of the infinite possibilities is the 2026 energies. And like we said earlier, there isn't just bunnies and rainbows in the field of infinite possibilities. So the temptation to get caught up in things that feel dark and negative and hard and process them through personality rather than through presence is going to be loud. So watch for that. Nancy says, interesting you mentioned exploration over holidays involved outages, power outages, right? Yeah. All of a sudden you get back to Pioneer days. She says she's still typing. Anybody else? We want to hear from everybody if we possibly can. We've heard from a lot of people so far, which we appreciate. Anybody else typing? The exploration of the field of infinite possibilities. We're finally to that point where the exploration of the field of infinite possibilities is our priority. Which requires you, we'll give you a little heads up here, which requires you to not only access, which is what we're doing by using the project idea, but then maintain what got you there, which is shorthand, very shorthand way of saying is to stay in the I don't know space. And then as new experiences happen, not let personality jump up to take over the new experience. So you're in I don't know, something new happens, and then you jump into I can know. That's personality asserting itself instead of abiding in I don't know as you experience something new. So as you abide in I don't know as something new, then you can explore the field of infinite possibilities. But it requires a stance. And stance is the wrong word, but that's the best one we've got right now. So Nancy said, over the holidays, she had outages, leaving no access to phone, TV, etc. The exploration of silence, quietude, deepened further into the exploration in stillness, serenity, peace, something I'm committed to and yet deepened in outages. Makes complete sense. Makes complete sense. Anybody else want to share anything now? Should we call on people? We really don't want to call on people. So we're just going to assume if you didn't type, for some reason you didn't type, which is okay. It's okay. We just like to hear from all of you. We really enjoy it. So that's why we're like, who else? Veronica's like, this year we will have some in-person meetings, so you'll get to see everybody. she's just thinking like we're a golden retriever, and she's like, I'll take you to the ocean later. You can jump in the waves. She knows us so well. We do like to hang out with you. So, is there anything that needs clarification? Well, let's do the calendar, and that way give us a second. We don't meet this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, the 14th. Okay, so we got a little break so you can practice all of this. Here's our request. If you come up with examples of any of these blocks, please share them. If you want to share photos or work in progress or anything that you're doing on your project, please share them. You can put them on Discord or you can send us an email. If you think of another low-hanging fruit that should be added to this list, please share it, Discord or email. If you find that you run into a block and you get stuck, ask for help. Discord's probably a good place for that. Or if you really get stuck, you can book a private session. And we really like that idea of making an appointment that you guys all just turn on this thing, right? Veronica can set it up to where you can put your cameras on if you want to or not. And you say, okay, Tuesdays at 9, we spend whatever time, we spend an hour working on our projects at the same time, even if we don't say anything to each other. You make an appointment and you make that appointment be an appointment that all of you engage with or whoever wants to. We really like that idea. So if that's something that interests you, Discord is a place to arrange that or send us an email, but Discord is really better for that. Is there anything else that anybody needs to talk about or wants us to talk about? If so, be typing. If not, say bye-bye, Happy New Year, whatever you want to say. Okay? Because we want to make sure we're not cutting anybody off. But we also think it's time to go. Tiffany's got something. Ooh, what is this, Tiffy? Is this earring rack? Oh, pretty. So you made these earrings. Can this open? We don't know how this works. You made the earrings and the rack. Wow. Super fun. Thank you for sharing. Oh, she's got more pictures. Aww. So fun. Thank you for sharing. That's fun. Wow. Did you draw that? That's Veronica, by the way. We love the ear. Isn't that cute how the ear curves up there? Yeah. Susan says, wow, love his expression. It's not her drawing, but she burnt it into the wood. Wow. How fun. Thank you for sharing. Kate says, very creative, Tiffany. Thank you for sharing and the creative boost. Anybody else want to share anything before we go? Okay, Randy says, awesome, Tiff, complete for me. Thank you. You're welcome. Tiffy says, all done for now. That's great. Susan says, thank you. Tiffy says, there are more to come. We would love to see them. You're working on them today. That's great. Okay, we're going to say goodbye. It was wonderful to be with you. So we meet again in 10 days. Please consider one of your new things. A possibility for a new thing is that you give us feedback like we requested, right? That could be a new thing because maybe there's a block. Maybe there's a block. Oh, I don't know if I should share this. I don't know if I should bug them. I don't know. Like that could be a block too, right? We're not an We're your partner. We're your teammate. So just like Tiffany threw out those pictures, share. That's what we would like, to try to see if you can take that step to share something with us in the next 10 days. And if you don't mind sharing it publicly, put it in Discord. If you'd rather share it privately, everyone knows what our email address is, send it to the email. So anybody who hears this call, we're going to make that request that over the next 10 days, you share at least one thing with us about a block or a project or a something that was a block that became a distraction. You give us a little bit of feedback as part of this process. Okay? Tiffany said, I also wanted to add, I have a very strong body response as I'm sharing. Sorry for the capitals. That's what we wondered. Like, whoa, she's really feeling strongly. My heart is beating super hard. So thank you, Tiffany, for being courageous to say, this makes me really nervous, or my heart beats really fast at least, but I'm going to do it anyway. So that's a block that you did not let be a block. So thank you for not letting that be a block. And now it can just be a distraction. It's kind of like, I don't want to hear the sound of my voice, so I'm not going to talk. I don't want to feel the feelings of like, oh my God, I'm going to share this with other people. What's it going to be like? Well, you know what? Don't let that be a block, okay? Just over the next 10 days, each of you share one thing with us about your project, about a block that you transformed into a distraction. Okay? All right, everybody. Much love, many blessings from the whole council. Happy New Year in the new energies of 2026. Here we go. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.